Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I had to face a full-on dilemma last night. I think I made the right choice, but I want to get your guys' opinion on this. I had to pick up my daughter from the Metro coming back from the Caps game.
What time was this?
Picked her up at around 10:30.
Wow.
It's about 15 minutes from my house.
So I thought she was at the Nats game.
Yeah, did I say the Caps game?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry, Nats game. She's at the Nats game last night. Just saw Max, she's dealing, just pummeling the Braves.
Sully.
So I get home around 10:45. Now, my evening routine has been disrupted because my routine is settle in, have a couple of bowls of the loudmouth soup before I turn in for bed, have a few wobbly pops. But I wasn't able to do that because I'm not going to go out in my car after I've drank two beers to my daughter. It's just a terrible look.
All right.
So I get home at around 10:45. And I open my fridge, and I'm staring at a brand new beer from our friends at the Aslan Beer Company. And Valdez and I are both wearing the hoodies because we can't contain ourselves.
Those are the guys with the big silly beer.
They came by Friday when you left, and brought cases of beer, and
we got none of them.
No, they're sitting.
Oh, yeah,
right there.
Oh, I got Zippy. Nobody gave me any.
Well, you're out of here by 9:57.
He asked me yesterday.
So yeah. I took some home yesterday.
Yeah, we have some for you.
And
if you want
one just chilling in the fridge, just waiting. But the problem is the beer that I had in the fridge is 15% alcohol. Mm. So I looked at it.
What's a normal beer? I don't even know.
Beer
six?
Is like
four and a half.
Four and a half, can be six, can be nine. This one's 15%.
All right. You're going to get pounded.
It's super potent.
Yeah.
And it's almost 11 o'clock. So I stared at it. And then I actually took it out of the fridge and held it in my hand and looked at it. I think it was an Imperial Stout with like Jamaican coffee flavor. It's an exotic beer.
Yeah.
But it's powerful.
Right.
It's like Max on the Mountain.
And this is 11 o'clock.
This is almost 11 o'clock. Right. And I'm like, do I drink this? Do I leave it here?
I can't believe you. Well,
I mean, I was pondering.
Yeah.
It's full on pondering. I was looking at it like, do I drink this now and risk not waking up? In time for the show in the morning.
Do you think it would knock you out that much? No, come on.
I just didn't know. Yeah. I didn't know what to think.
Two beers.
Maybe like three.
Right.
It's powerful.
Right.
So you know what?
Stay away.
Left it in the fridge.
Well, you get back at it tonight.
Couldn't enjoy it while I was watching the latest episode of Homeland.
Had nothing.
I actually had a beer with my son who turned legal at dinner. So we, you know, cracked a beer together for his first time legally.
Nice.
So that was nice. But then I had a big gap, a big void.
Where was dinner last night?
Just went to Mama Lucia in College Park. We're going to do a bigger affair at MGM National Harbor on Friday at Voltaggio Brothers.
Oh, really?
Yeah, nice. It's gonna be silly.
Are you going to put them on the 1-2 list?
1-3.
Well, there isn't a 1-2 anymore.
He's
it's now 1-3. Maybe. You never know.
Does he get the cakes fast pass on the 1-3?
He might. You never know. I can pull some strings over there.
All of a sudden, when Kurt starts tweeting he won the lucky table, I'll know the fix is in.
For sure.
If that starts happening, then yes, you should certainly raise an eyebrow.
Now, are you getting hooked over there at the Voltaggio, or are you just hooking that up on your own?
There's a little bit of a deal. I have a monthly allowance with my poker ambassador deal, restaurant-wise, over at MGM National Harbor.
Oh, you do?
Jealous.
What's your...
Here's a little amount he could spend.
$200 per month.
Perfect.
Wow.
At the restaurant?
That's perfect.
Take your family to Voltaggio.
That'd probably cover it. It's going to take a big chunk out of it.
That's silly.
Which is a good thing.
So that's on Friday.
Friday, 5:30 reservation.
Of course.
Had to be early.
Is it even open at 5:30?
It is. It opens at 5. I told Kurt, I said, I apologize.
It just has to be early.
This is what older people do. We have to do it early.
Right.
I'm not going to be out there at midnight.
It's the weirdest thing.
Early dinner, 5:30.
He loves to be in a restaurant with no one else there.
I love the ambiance of a restaurant that is... couldn't be quieter. You know what sucks? A loud, bustling restaurant.
You don't want it to be overly loud, but you like to people watch.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't like to people.
You want a little atmosphere.
Yeah, atmosphere.
I like the server.
Humans.
I like the
human
server.
Human contact.
No. That's overrated. I like the server to be dialed in on my table.
First steak on the grill.
Not have to worry about any other dogs.
Right on top of you. I get it.
Yeah, I'm, that is what I'm all about.
Leftovers from the night before.
Oh, they're not doing leftovers at Voltaggio,
They tell you yesterday's special still.
No, Ricky,
get the leftover soup.
You know what? You guys have fun waiting. You guys have fun waiting because I know you did that in West Palm. I know you dogs went downtown and waited, drab T-shirt. I'm pointing at you. Hmm. You waited with JP and CK so you could eat tacos. You waited in line for 40 minutes. I don't wait. No, I get there early and I get seated.
I'm not into waiting.
Waiting
stinks.
Sucks.
Waiting. I'm with you there. 100%. Waiting stinks. But just going into a restaurant, sitting down and having like other humans there, that's like a normal experience. That's what you want.
Yeah. I don't like that experience. It's not the experience that I want.
And hey, I don't like to go straight to my table either. I like to have a little
cocktail first. I'm fine with that.
Have a cocktail.
You know what I want in my restaurant when I'm there? The waiters and tumbleweeds. You ever seen an old Western?
Right.
The tumbleweeds roll across the road?
That's what you want.
That's what I want at a restaurant.
You've made that obvious.
Hey, yeah. Are you going to give Kurt a buy-in and let him play?
He is getting cash for his birthday. So he can do what he wants with it.
Nah, he's not going to waste it on a buy-in at the Cakes Classic.
He's pragmatic. He's going on a trip to Aruba when he's done.
Oh, nice.
School, so he's going to probably use it for his plane ticket.
You're just going to have dinner and then you're leaving.
Yeah, just a family dinner.
Yeah, yeah.
Not going to see any flops Friday night. I'm not a total degenerate.
You're going to be thinking about it, though.
I always think about flops.
It's like there's
I was looking
a big
at flops in the other studio this morning. It was a female tournament. I couldn't stop watching.
Have you found a rogue poker site that you trust that you're playing on that caters to... I mean, there are some, but they're smaller.
Have not.
They cater to you know... American citizens.
I will tell you, it is kind of embarrassing. I play on Global Poker, where the only way you can get your winnings through PayPal. That's their end round,
right? So you do. So
yes,
you do have a site.
Yeah, I play.
We got a couple hundred bucks
on
there.
Very low stakes.
Yeah.
How often do you play that?
Almost every day.
Do you really?
Yeah.
What else is he going to do?
Yeah, you're right.
Flops. Why wouldn't
I was going to ask him what he does.
Like during
what
lunch,
time did you have
like
done?
If I play lunch, if I'm sitting down at lunch. Not watching TV. I'll watch some flops.
What time do you usually have dinner at the house if you're not out? Because last night you were out, but
between 5:30, 6:30,
okay,
somewhere in that range.
And after you're done dinner, what do you usually do? Because you don't go to bed until 10:30. Yeah.
Probably go upstairs and watch the Caps or the Wiz. That's usually part of my routine.
So you just go upstairs
or watch Homeland. Get caught up on that.
If they're not playing, you'll find something else to watch.
Yeah,
and you'll just sit up there
and try to wind down and curse the fact that I have to wake up at 4:15.
Yeah.
That's what.
So
that's
you go up there for roughly 4 hours, three to four hours,
maybe two and a half, something like that.
And you just watch whatever's on.
Yes,
gotcha.
That's the usual routine.
Yeah,
it is going to kill.
The go-to.
It is going to kill Cakes on Friday because isn't the lucky table drawing 500 and not 3 on Fridays?
Yes, actually, I think it's been scaled back. I think it's 300, but that's okay. Just going for a family dinner. It's all
usually
good.
That's calling him.
I see plenty.
I know.
Look,
usually that's calling Cakes.
I see plenty of flops. I'm to the point now where I can walk into a casino and have a dinner and not be automatically drawn to the card table.
All right, good for you. You're maturing, Cakes.
Yes, come on.
You're almost 50.
This is your boy evolving over here. It's what it looks like.
Vic, you know what I was thinking about yesterday?
What were you thinking about?
I was
so thinking about Tiger. When's he gonna play again?
Well, not really. But I was just thinking.
I was thinking about.
He's probably going to play at Wells Fargo, right?
That's what I'm thinking.
I was thinking about how juiced up I was last week. You know, Monday,
excited
Tuesday,
for the
Wednesday.
Yes. Just what a great week it was.
It was such a great week.
And how depressing it is this week?
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
I was thinking about how depressed I was that it's over.
I know. Well, what was it? CBS Sports, the cable channel, was actually rerunning the Masters, and I was watching some of it.
Oh, CBS Sports Network was?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
But I was so looking forward to it. I was looking forward to it. I had my picks. I had my golf pool. I had my schedule down and my bets going. And then it's over.
Yeah, it's gone.
Such a letdown.
It's such a letdown. It's same way I felt after the NCAA tournament. Because it goes by so quick and it's over. And you got to wait a year.
2 months till next major.
The good thing about golf is, you know, if you're really into it, there's one per week.
But there's nothing like the majors.
Now, you know, got to wait a year for the Masters. You got U.S. Open and
the thing the Open is usually after the Masters, the weather really picks up and really gets nice. I just don't feel it yet.
Oh, it's going to be 75 on Thursday, 82 on Friday.
Hopefully we've turned a corner.
Think about that.
Because I don't feel that yet.
82 on Friday. Because it was butt cold last night.
Well, you're definitely going to tee it up on. If it's 80 on Friday, must have plans.
My golfing days are probably done forever.
Forever?
I've got a major shoulder injury. I do.
Hey, Dr. Cakes has been advising you to go under the knife.
I'm getting the MRI on Friday.
Are you losing faith in the PT?
Not losing faith because I've only been three times.
It's just hard. It's hard for it to work when something's torn.
It depends how torn it is. That's the thing.
That's the thing. If it's really torn, then that's not going to work.
Your left shoulder is Natalie Imbruglia.
It's torn, right?
That's such a good song.
So anyway, I'm getting the MRI on Friday, 3:00.
Did you get open MRI? You're getting it Friday
MRI.
At 3:00.
Yep.
Oh, so you're gonna have a bombshell for us on Monday.
Yep.
Well, it's not really a bombshell, like Valdez said.
I'm assuming
it's butt torn.
I'm assuming something's torn in there.
Yeah.
But I can't play golf, maybe forever.
Oh, they'll fix it. Don't worry. It'll be fine.
Well, if it's torn, it's going to be a surgical procedure.
Right.
And I'm going to be out for 9 to 12 months.
Mm, yeah. It's true.
More depression.
Yeah. More so to 12 months. That rehab is no joke.
That's more depression.
But you can probably play golf six months.
You can ease
in.
The depression.
Yeah, you can chip like Tiger.
Flops. You can see flops with a banged up shoulder. You can see flops.
It's incredible what a 1 hour procedure, how debilitating it is to recover from it. Just a few little. Yeah. I mean, I had like three dots.
The impact. Yeah.
Three dots where they went in, and then you can't even. You literally barely lift
last
5 pounds.
Last week, I played at Big Shocker at MGM National Harbor with a cop Junks listener. Mm-hmm. Banged up left arm, had a cast from his middle finger to his shoulder. Right. You know what he's doing? See him flops one-handed. One-handed.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to do that.
You know what? You might be right. I might have to go over there a few
grabbing
times.
Grabbing a seat with your boy.
But I'll have plenty of time to do it.
I told you, I want to be kept alive as long as possible. As long as I can blink, I can see flops. As long as I can blink.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
Who's the doc that just died?
Stephen Hawking?
Yeah. He could still see flops up until the very, very end. I don't know how much you could do.
He was way too evolved to see flops.
He could definitely.
He was worried about black holes and
that's just big
the
waste
meaning
of time.
Of the universe.
I agree with you. Big waste of time.
He could calculate implied pot odds like that with the quickness.
Be a genius.
He knew
how
many outs he had every time.
Of course.
Oh, by the way, Valdez, is there a certain site you go on to apply for the Masters lottery? Isn't it released the Monday after the Masters?
I believe so. Usually I get an email. I haven't gotten an email yet.
All right, because I want to do that.
Everyone wants to do it.
I know.
After I told them what they sold for.
But you know what? I've never done. I don't want to sell them. I want to go. I've never applied, so I want to apply.
All right. And then what you should do is you should get your wife to apply as well.
Oh, yeah. I'll get everybody.
So here's what you do. If you're interested in landing tickets to attend the 2019 Masters, you have to create your account over at tickets.masters.com. You create an account and a link will be sent for you to activate your account. The application will ask for details like your name, address, and email. You must submit the last four digits of your social security number. You must be 21 years of age or older to apply for tickets. The lottery opens in early May. No deadline has been announced yet. The deadline for 2018 tickets was June 1, 2017. So you're not even... Yeah, so that's for 2019. That's for next year.
Yeah, yeah. I'm doing it right now. I'm signing up right now.
Hey, you should sign your wife up, your kids up, sign everybody up.
Big surprise, you're playing the lottery. I'm sized for you.
Hey, you know what? He got lucky.
Do it.
How many years did you sign up before you got pulled?
This was probably my eighth year.
All right.
Jeez.
Maybe I'll get lucky.
One of my buddies won it three times in 10 years.
That's pretty good.
I know. And he complains that he doesn't get weekend tickets.
Jerk.
Now, could they ever track? Because you know how they were finding people that were selling their badges, and then they were never giving them badges.
Well, yeah,
ever again.
It's because they're marked with a code.
Right. But your tickets that you won via lottery
are marked with a code. Every ticket.
So you actually might not be able to get if you apply for the lottery again. Are they going to screw you?
You got to block the code, Ricky.
How do you block the code?
Put pennies over it.
What do you mean?
Like the code's like on the top, mm-hmm. And so you just cover the top and you cover the bottom, and so they see that it's the ticket.
You mean when it's online?
Yeah,
yeah.
He's got all the end arounds.
Yeah,
I don't understand how all the donks.
That wasn't me though. That was Pat Valdez.
Right, that was Pat.
Right,
Pat Valdez.
Different person.
How do all these donks who live in Augusta go every single year?
Man, it must be grandfathered in or something.
For those
I
people.
Don't know. Some people, like you know, Valdez was saying, a guy from his club goes every year. They get badges somehow.
Yeah. So, yeah,
somehow like, their grandfather
they,
did.
They got it in, like, when he used to live down there when he sold his house.
Uh-huh.
And, like, he got written into the deal that he gets Masters badges.
Every year.
By the way, have you guys seen the aerial shot of Augusta outside of Augusta National? It is nubs.
Oh, it's very poor town.
Team nubs.
It's like Laurel. Yeah.
Strip plazas everywhere. Just
and then if you volunteer there for X amount of years, they end up giving you the badges too.
Right. Yeah. All right. Well,
they got everybody brainwashed because everyone's dying to go there and volunteer for a week. I told my buddy I wouldn't do it, and I'm a huge golf fan.
I would probably do it for a week. Yeah.
I'm not interested in volunteering for anything for a week.
If you just get to sit there volunteer. And watch Tiger hit balls,
you get to raise the whatever the paddle.
I'm
be quiet.
Way too late. Oh, spilled
sure
coffee.
Fun.
Look, coffee everywhere. Look, all over this phone.
It's just a little bit. I'm way too lazy for that. Way
you
too
wouldn't
lazy.
Want to sit on the range and just watch guys beat balls.
Yeah, but I don't want to work.
Yeah,
for
but
anybody.
You have to work.
Yeah, I don't want to work for anybody for free for a week.
Yeah, it's finished.
I'm not into it. Not a big volunteer guy.
Stand at the same spot and hold that dumb flag in
yeah,
the air.
That's... You look at my resume, you'll find very few hours of volunteer
not
work.
A lot of volunteer
that's true.
Work.
All right, yeah. But this is a little different.
I think that goes for everybody in this room.
I mean, it's shocking.
This, is a little, this wouldn't
little
be
volunteer.
Work.
By the way, at the last poker tournament, a guy walks up and goes, is there a charity component to this tournament? And I said,
nope.
Of course there isn't.
We're not big
everybody
on charity.
Here is greedy. All people
that's
here
a, that was
want
a dumb
to
question.
Is felt everybody else. And
hey,
put
stupid
the money
Adam,
in their
bring in some paper towels. What are you doing? You paying attention?
When we come
call.
Back.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Scott Brooks on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. He's presented by Greenberg and Betterman, specialists in personal injury law. Coach Brooks, how are you?
Coach, good morning. How you doing?
Doing well. What's going on, guys?
Well, you're going on, brother.
We're just trying to figure this team out.
Yeah.
You're going
Coach,
on.
Coach, you use the dreaded...
Let me know what you come up with.
You use the dreaded S word after the loss to the Hawks.
Oh, selfish.
Selfish. Oh. Not the four-letter one. The I'm, other dreaded
I bet,
S
I bet
word.
You said something worse to them in the locker room, though. I
I'm
bet you
glad
did.
You said it, though. I'm glad you came out with it publicly.
I was disappointed. You know, selfish because it means a lot of things to me. It means you're not giving everything you have for the team. You're not taking good shots. You're not defending. It's just not just shooting. Most people think of selfish as guys taking all the shots. But, you know, we do it in streaks. And, you know, I still believe in our guys. You know, we got John coming back. So we'll see. We got two games left. We want to start playing well. We don't care who we play. You know, I know everybody thinks, oh, we should play this team. No, we got to play better ourselves before
right.
we worry about who we play.
Right.
And hopefully tonight we can start that.
When you, you know, when the team plays poorly against a bad team that you should beat.
Which they've done all year
which
at
they've
times.
Done, yeah, I mean, when you lose to the Knicks and the Hawks and teams like, you know, the Bulls, I mean, you know you should beat them. Anyway, when you talk to the guys in the locker room, I know you're not going to give us too much, but like, what's the response from them when you just say, hey, why are you doing this? Why are we playing this bad? What's their response to you?
Well, they're disappointed. They're frustrated. And, you know, we've had guys speak up. John has spoke during the year. Brad has spoke during the year. But we haven't been able to figure out how do we play against teams that are below 500. The good thing about it, like I told the guys the other day, the good thing about it, I'm almost positive that we're not going to play a team below 500 in the playoffs. We're going to be in good shape.
That is true.
We're going to be able to play. We're going to be able to play, hopefully, better. You know, there's no excuse. There's no excuse. We should be winning some of these games, but we have to put that behind us. We got to look forward and going into this last couple of games, getting our mojo back, getting our rhythm back, getting John's conditioning to where it needs to be in the playoffs. So hopefully we can do that and then have a couple of good practices and go on the road and win a playoff game.
Yeah. But that's a tall ask, Coach. I mean, you guys got 80 games in, and to be in this spot, it has to be, let's be honest, incredibly frustrating for you And listen, it's been difficult. John's been missing for half the year, so I get it. You know, you got different combinations you're using, and guys have different roles depending upon who's available and who's not. But to be 80 games in and to still be sort of at this point, I can't imagine how frustrated deep down you must be.
Well, as a coach, you got a lot of time to think, and you got a lot of time to – I get a lot of time to walk in this incredible city. So the last couple of days, I've done a lot of thinking of how I could have do things differently and how we could have done things differently. You know, we still got some time left. We still can make a run. Mm-hmm. But I came up to this. I said, you know, we had the last 10 games, for some reason, we let go of the rope. Mm-hmm. We had before that, you know, John's going to miss probably half the season. He's going to miss roughly 40 games of the season. Thomas came out of nowhere and really did a great job of keeping us into this playoff race. So if you take away those last 10 games, it was a great story. John misses half the season. Thomas comes in, guys stepped up. We're in a playoff race. But for some reason, we haven't played well the last 10 games. And if I have to pinpoint it to one area, it's defense. We are giving up so many drives to the basket. We're giving up offensive rebounds. We're not contesting shots the way we need to do that. And if that doesn't change, we're not going to have a successful playoffs. We've got to lock in defensively. It has to start with the point guard, and it has to keep going down to everybody down on the team that gets on the court. We got to be a help defensive team. We got to be a better rebounding team. And we're not a shot-blocking team. I'm not trying to say we're going to start blocking shots, but we got to be in position. We got to take charges.
Coach Brooks, you mentioned John Wall's conditioning, and you had the luxury of being able to rest him against the Hawks. Unfortunately, resulted in a loss, but when you get into the playoffs, you're not going to have that luxury where you can just look at John and say, you know what, we're just not going to have you available this game for rest purposes. How do you come up with the numbers as far as him coming back from the injury, an ideal, like, optimal number of minutes for him to play in these playoff games? It must be a tough equation to solve.
Yeah, you know what? The last seven games of the season, we've had three sets of back-to-backs. You know, so it's not ideal for a guy like John coming back, because it's not smart for us to play back-to-back with him. But I did push the limits to see how he would respond, see how he would respond in the Cleveland game. I think, if I can remember correctly, he played like 38 minutes. And that's a number that, you know, he's going to have to, for us to continue to have a good run, he's going to have to play that type of minutes in games. And he responded well during the game, and he responded well after the game. There's no back-to-backs in the playoffs, so he's going to get his rest in between games. So I think we can play him, you know, anywhere from 36 to 40 minutes and have him fresh going into the next game.
So when you talk about the defensive effort and you talk about how the team's given up way too many easy cuts to the hoop, are the guys just tired? I mean, is that just lack of effort? What do you think it is? What can you pinpoint on that?
Well, I think there's definitely some fatigue factor. I mean, we've scrambled to stay afloat, and guys have really stepped up and played extra minutes. Brad has played more minutes than he's ever played. Thomas has played more minutes than he's ever played. Kelly has played more minutes than he's ever played. Otto has probably played the same more minutes than he's ever played. But that's part of being an NBA player. You gotta be able to fight through the mental fatigue. You gotta be able to continue to push the limits. And, you know, I don't know if it was that, but You can argue that could have been the point, but that's no excuse. You still got to come out and you still got to compete. You got to still play for each other and for the team.
Coach Brooks, I chuckled a little bit over the fact that not only did Markieff Morris get ejected from the game against the Hawks, his twin brother got ejected the same night in a game against the Heat. Are you going to huddle with the Morris twins tonight and say, hey, guys, let's not both get ejected on the same night in tonight's game at Capital One?
No. No, we don't need that, because Keith is flirting with being suspended with the limit of technical. So he's going to have to control his motions. You know, it's unfortunate he did get ejected. That was a game that, you know, we felt that we had a chance to win that game. And we're shorthanded. Jan didn't play. Now he's out of the game. So that put us in a bad position. He apologized. Unfortunately, it happened, but he can't happen anymore. But that was kind of interesting that they both got ejected the same night.
So you don't care who you play in the first round?
No, we have to play better. Let's face it. If we don't play well, it doesn't matter who we play. We're not going to have success. We got to play better, and hopefully the last couple of games and the next couple of practice going into our playoff preparation, we can come away with some good feelings about ourselves going into the first game, no matter if it's Toronto, Boston, Cleveland, Philly, doesn't matter. We got to play better.
You know, when you were frustrated and you said, you know, we don't have any one-on-one players on this team. They're very few in this league. I thought, well, I think John could be a one-on-one player. No, I don't know. I mean, I'm just getting defensive there.
There's no question. He's definitely one of the few guys in the league that can get his own shot with a one-on-one action and have success and also help his teammates score
right
by doing that same action, because he has the ability to attack and his speed and his strength and his ability to get above the rim and his passing ability. There's not a lot of – there's not a lot of players in this league, Harden, LeBron. Those are the guys. Mm-hmm. Golden State seems to have a couple of those type of players, but you can't do it consistently and have success in this league.
Right. I'm reading here that you put the guys through extensive film session. I can imagine. How did that go?
Well, like I say, the film session is the truth box. I can tell the guys this and they can tell each other this and that. But the videos, it doesn't tell anything but the true story. And we have to look ourselves in the mirror, myself, our team, and figure out why are we giving up this many points? Why are we giving up drives to the basket? Why are we not contesting at the rim? Or why are we not taking charges?
Right.
So we've done that, and, you know, I think the guys responded. We had a great practice yesterday. So hopefully we come out and have a good shoot around this morning and have a good game against a very feisty Celtic team.
Coach Brooks, how's Kelly Oubre handling the slump? In his last five games, he's not shot very well. How do you lift him out of that?
Well, he hasn't shot the ball well for a while, and you still got to defend. And I tell him that, Kelly, you can control your defensive effort. You can control who you're guarding, what he likes to do, his strengths and his weaknesses. And that's, to me, that's the thing that he has struggled with more to me than the shooting. The shooting is obviously hasn't shot the ball well, but that's going to come and go. And the defense has to stay consistent, and he's going to have to continue to work in that area for us to be a really good team. We need him to be a defensive team. Sure, I love him to make some shots. I love him to make some threes. He's getting good looks. He's just going to have to keep shooting them, and hopefully some of those will fall in, and he can get some confidence going into the last couple of games and into the playoffs.
Coach, you know, the playoffs is obviously a different animal. It's a different animal in hockey. It's a different animal in baseball, you know, obviously in the NFL. Do you feel like it's easy to kind of flip a switch and play a lot better in one particular series when you're just facing one team? Is that something?
And when the season's on the line.
Yeah, do you think that that's possible?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know flipping the switch, but there's another level. I think every team has another level. You play a lot of games, and you're back-to-back and different teams every night. Totally different in the regular season. The second season, the playoff season, it's a different level of intensity, focus. We know each other's plays. We know each other's calls. But it comes down to making shots. Your best player is going to have to continue to play well, and then you're going to have your role player step up. And it always seems to be every game in the playoffs or every series, there's an out-of-nowhere guy. Hopefully we can have somebody off our bench that can come in and play good minutes for us.
Well, I'm getting nervous, Coach.
Do you think players are like fans? Because the fans, I can tell you, we're fans. We're just like, God damn, let's just get this regular season over with. You know, it just seems like it's such a – it seems like the last month of the season takes forever.
I feel like the guys played that way, to be honest with you, almost all year.
Do players feel like that too sometimes?
Yeah, there's no question. You look at the best teams in the league with the record. Houston, they've struggled a little bit. Golden State has struggled a little bit. All these teams, the last two or three weeks, you want to get to the playoffs, but you still, with all the close playoff races, you can't look forward. You got to play tonight and worry about tonight's game. But it does happen. There's no question. It's human nature. You're excited about the playoffs. It's another level. The crowd's intensity, the road intensity. It's just a great environment. It's the best time of the year.
Who should I be watching for if player X is doing his thing, and this could be offensively or defensively, then the Wizards are in a good spot? Who is that? Who is that X factor for you?
Well, it's always been Markieff. He's always been a guy that if he has a good all-around game, we're pretty tough to beat. You know, John is going to give us his intensity, his aggressiveness, his ability to attack and create for himself and teammates. Brad has been pretty consistent. Otto's the same way. We need that. And then we need Kelly to come in off the bench and give us that spark, give us that wild card. And hopefully he can do that. But it's going to take everybody. You know, if wherever seed we end up with, we're going to be playing a higher seed team. That does, to me, that doesn't mean anything because we're going to start off 0-0. We know we have to win a game on the road. We've been pretty good on the road. That's another bright spot. We've been good against good teams, and we've been pretty good on the road. So hopefully we can get a win or two on the road.
Coach, if Keith and his twin brother Marcus switched uniforms and went to the different benches, how long would it take you to sniff out that the wrong Morris was playing for the Wizards?
Well, I will tell you this. If it wasn't for 2 years ago when I did not coach Markeith, I would have probably had trouble. But now I've seen them enough. I can see the difference. They're both are good players. You know what? They're both. I've been impressed with Keith. He's been a pro. He has to control his temper. There's no question. Hopefully that doesn't, you know, become a problem in the playoffs. But they're both really good players.
Are you shocked by what Philly's doing?
I don't know, shocked, but they're so talented. They're athletic. They're long. They have defensive toughness. They got shot makers. They got a couple of great pickups right after the All-Star break. But they have a lot of good players. But still, you got to perform. It's always about how you perform in the playoffs. So whoever we play, whoever they play, they're going to have to play well, just like we're going to have to play well to get a playoff victory.
Yep, that's true.
That's Coach Scott Brooks from the Washington Wizards. Good luck tonight. We'll talk to you again soon. Thanks, Coach.
Thank you, Coach.
Okay. Thanks, guys. I'll see you guys.
All right,
Scott
buddy.
Brooks is presented by Greenberg and Betterman, specialist in personal injury law.
But we're still talking about the Wizards, if people want to chime in. I also have some thoughts just looking at the NBA draft. When is that? Is that in June or July?
June.
When the hell is it? Is
that usually NBA
traditionally draft? In June.
You know, we got two Maryland kids that have declared, one signed with an agent already, Justin Jackson and Bruno Fernando.
Yeah.
I don't see one of them in the top 60.
Bruno's got to come back.
I think Bruno will.
Right.
Oh, here I see. It looks like Justin Jackson snuck in overnight. He wasn't in there yet. Yeah, I see him at 59.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it used to be that you would declare when you thought you'd be a lottery pick.
He doesn't like school.
Why do you declare when you're projected potentially to go 58, 59?
I just told you.
And signed with an agent.
I think Jason has it.
He wants to
He doesn't
get
want to
paid.
Go to class.
Those guys,
and honestly,
not
you don't care about
I'm
that.
You get somebody to write your papers. I'm telling you, they take joke classes.
I'm starting to think that some of these kids, that if they came back, they wouldn't be eligible to play.
That's also another thing.
That's also true, but they prepare. That's because they're thinking
they put all of their eggs in the one and done basket.
I know,
and then they don't go to class.
I know, but fix that. That's easily
fixable. You
know what?
Some of these
how can you fix that when you neglect your schoolwork all year?
You can't.
You can't. You're already behind the eight ball. You can't get ahead of it.
That's certainly an issue for some kids.
It's not just that. A lot of these kids are listening to bad guidance. These guys are telling them you can be a first-round pick.
They're seeing friends be...
You can make a team as a free agent. You're
projected
good enough
to go higher. Guys they balled with as kids. I get it.
He's going to go play in Israel.
But you're going to go play in Croatia.
You know what Turgeon should do? He should have a life-size poster of that big dummy diamond stone right outside the locker room and a sign over top of him saying...
Where's he playing now? In
don't
Turkey
be
or
this
something?
Guy.
Where's diamond
He's
stone
He's in the G
right
League.
Now? Where in the world
He's making
is,
19 like, grand.
Yeah, right. I mean, do you know how much better it is to play the Big Ten and be on TV every week and be a rock star?
Since
so
Diamond
much
Stone
better.
Left
to
the Terps.
To me and you, yeah, but these kids don't think that way. Yeah,
he was drafted by
wrong.
Stone was drafted by the Clippers. He's been on the Santa Cruz Warriors, the Salt Lake City Stars, the Windy City Bulls, and back on the Salt Lake City Stars.
Yeah, it's a
good
horrible
decision.
Life.
Great
you know
decision
what?
By
I guarantee
you.
A Turgeon was like good riddance.
I'm sure he
I'm
is.
Sure, I'm,
he
sure
didn't
he want was.
I'm sure he
but
is.
He
but
wasn't
these guys
coachable.
Are making
Diamond
terrible
Stone wasn't
decisions.
Coachable. He was overrated.
Dude, I know he would have bought his plane ticket out of there.
Yeah.
But they're just making stupid decisions.
Now, Bruno, I think, will come back. He hadn't signed with an agent,
luckily,
right?
Luckily, he's got a brain, and he hadn't signed with an agent.
And he's not going to go.
And I don't see him anywhere in the top 60 on a site that I've tracked for years. And that's NBADraft.net. They're pretty good at the
maybe site.
Maybe he sneaks into the second round, but who knows?
I don't see him anywhere. sneaking in the second round, there's no guarantee.
No,
it's
no, I'm
a
just
joke.
Saying that that'd probably be the best case scenario.
Leaving school early after your freshman year to sneak into the second round is a catastrophic decision.
You know what it is? It's a one-way ticket to China.
Right.
To play in obscurity.
Correct.
Is what it is.
You're going to go play in Guam. It sucks.
I would say you come. I mean, he had an injury
the
whole year.
You didn't even play. You're injured.
I mean, you didn't
even
prove
still,
to anybody.
He's still recovering.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm not sure he can play for months.
But from what I'm hearing about the kid, he wasn't into school. He's talking to all these people who think he's the better player.
Right.
Well,
you
got to
get good influences.
All right. But he doesn't know.
I'd be willing to bet.
Year after year after year, dumb decisions.
I'd be willing to bet he's not eligible to play.
I'm sure that's true. But figure it out. Put in the extra work. You know?
It's hard to become eligible if you're academically ineligible.
You can take some summer classes. You can take some summer classes. Believe me.
You think he wants to go to summer classes.
I'm sure he doesn't want to go to
summer classes. It's hard to go to regular classes.
Hold on.
Hold on. Let's be clear. There's not one athlete that wants to go to class. I get that.
Right. Well,
I didn't want to go to class. And I was a zero, a zilch.
They definitely don't want to go to summer classes.
Suck it up. Grow up.
Why?
Grow up, because the alternative is an odyssey around the world.
He'll take
making
it.
Peanuts.
He'll take it.
And then what are you going to do?
He makes 150 grand next year. That's 150 grand more he was making.
Oh, he's not going to make 150. Then you're going to go coach clinics. What are you going to do? You're going to be the basketball guru at some gym. I mean,
yeah,
that's a side hustle.
Whatever,
and maybe
man.
That's
Uber.
What they
it's
love.
The life of a loser.
He wants to go make. You know,
it's
25 G's
air.
In the G League.
The play in the NBA is rarefied air. Every high school stud thinks he's going to do it. It's just embarrassing.
Let's be honest. You think he was really good enough to make the league anyway? Even if he had played.
Who?
Jackson.
I don't think so.
Even if he came back.
I'm not suggesting that staying in school is going to improve your draft status. I'm suggesting
you're saying
it's
that
a
college
better
life's
experience.
Better. I get it.
And
you and I
and
agree on that.
Maybe a little bit of education
but
might
how many
sneak
times
in.
Have I told you this? We're not them.
I know.
You and I are different
I
than Justin
you,
Jackson.
But these guys have, like we've talked about, they have 100 people in their ears saying, you're a pro.
I know.
You're wasting your time here. What are you doing? And because they're... They're young and naive.
All it takes
they
is one Google
into
search.
We got
they buy into it.
All it takes is one Google search to see.
I know.
I'm not on anybody's radar.
Bickle.
Like, literally nobody's radar.
Bickle, you and I got in the same fight about Melo.
I know.
We got the same discussion.
I know.
We both agreed.
Melo will be lucky to someday break in.
We both agreed it was a better decision to come back. I'm sure Turge probably tried to tell him.
It's so annoying.
He probably sat him down and said,
it just happens
bad move.
Year after year after year. It takes one Google search to see how good you are.
You think Justin Jackson's going to host an NBA draft party? Draft night? You think he'll be in the green room
that will
in
be,
New York City?
I dare you to do that. I dare you to do that.
Hey, why don't we see if we can hold one on campus? A Justin Jackson.
Let's have a Justin Jackson
draft
NBA
party.
Draft party.
Yeah.
We're going to have the stamp you.
And we'll serve milk duds.
Be six people there and no phone calls. Let's go to Mike in Fredericksburg. Mike, what's up?
Hey, guys. So what's the over-under on any of these donks being able to find the country they're going to be playing basketball in next year on a map?
Zero.
Well, I couldn't.
What's the over-under on
that? Well, I would have to think that Justin Jackson knows where China is.
Unless it's China, probably zero.
I mean, if he can't pick China out on a map, what's he doing?
But there's no chance he can pick Croatia out on a map.
No, impossible.
I mean, it's just...
if it's Russia or China, he could probably pick it out. That's about it.
It just really bothers me.
He's not picking those out.
It just really bothers me. They're just making such bad decisions.
Hey, we'll serve General Tso's chicken at our at our Justin Jackson draft party.
Chinese food.
By the way, could AWOD pick out China on a map? Do you think he can pick it out?
I'm not certain I can. I'm not playing that game.
Dude, it's bigger than China. It's bigger than Jupiter.
I don't look at the map.
Cakes, I'm way ahead of you. Printing it off right now.
Print that out. We're going to have an AWOD geography.
Is AWOD in there?
I won't enter
no.
geography.
We'll grab him.
Pick out China.
I'm not saying I could or couldn't. I'm staying out of it. I'm out of it. Let's go to Jaime. I'm in a bad mood today.
You're getting enough sleep?
Nuh-uh, are you?
Mm-mm. Hey, what's going on, guys?
I'm out on every local team except the Nats. And the Terps, the kids that declare for the draft every year, just infuriate.
Hey, are you going to give us an upbeat EP in about 10 minutes?
There is actually an interesting story there.
And then he's got to drive 90 miles to Leonardtown, Maryland.
And my kids got a game literally on Mars today.
Jaime, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thank you for taking my call.
Yep.
Hey, come on, Evie. We need you on our side, man. We're fans. We
I'm
have to support our team.
I'm rooting for him. I'm not going to get all invested.
He's only excited about the Nats.
Hey, I know we're supposed to lose this series, but I think, in the other hand, Kelly Oubre is a better player than he was last year. I think even Otto Porter is a better player than he used to be last year. And you never know. But, you know, I want to call out Marcin Gortat. And I remember this year in different parts of the season, at the beginning he was complaining about the role he had in the offense with the team. And at the end of the season, when John Wall was out, he was talking about the team now being a real team. So I want you to go out and win your matchup. I want you to be better than the other center and play like you should. Instead of talking, let's play. Let's win that matchup. Let's see that if that helps the Wizards winning the series.
All right, I like your optimism, Jaime, but if we're relying on Jaime's March
always,
to win us the series,
he's always
then
positive.
It could be trouble.
He is. He's always positive. You know what? Maybe these guys, Otto and Bradley and Kelly, maybe they just didn't give a rat's ass about the last 2-3 weeks.
I don't think they cared about the whole regular season.
I hope that's the case.
So maybe they'll step it up. They'll flip the switch on. I think it's hard
that's
to believe.
That's the only thing you can
It's the only thing you can bank on. Yeah.
Yep. Dennis Dodd, college football writer for CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. Dennis, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're doing well. Thanks for joining us. I want to start off talking about the quarterback spot entering this NFL draft, which is about 2.5 weeks away. Jim Mora, I don't think, did Josh Rosen any favors with some of his quotes. It came out a few weeks ago about him being a millennial and, you know, he has a lot of interest in life. And if you can hold his concentration on football and football only, you know, he'll basically set the world on fire. What did you think about those comments? Will it ding Rosen's draft status? I don't think it will. I still think he's going to be a top 5 to 7 selection in the draft. What did you think about those comments?
You know, I thought they were misinterpreted in this, you know, Instagram world. You know, on its face, it looks like he's ripping Josh Rosen. But I actually listened to the comments, and then I listened to an explanation after the initial reaction from Jim Mora, and all he was saying, I think the initial comment was, you know, Sam Darnold's perfect for Cleveland. Well, that sounds like on its face that he's ripping Josh Rosen. No, he was saying Sam Darnold, you know, a big guy, kind of relates to the city, although he's an Orange County kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, work ethic, stuff like that, fits the ethic. Mm-hmm. Fits the ethic of Cleveland. You know, he said Josh Rosen is a more cerebral guy. I think Josh Rosen is one of the smartest and best interviews I've ever had. And so it was interpreted as a slap. He had to come back and kind of clarify. I don't think he needed to clarify. I think he needed to sit down instead of reacting on Twitter and listen to what he said. Go get the tape. So, no, I don't think that will ding him at all.
How much influence do you have over the CBS Sports rankings when you guys rank the college players? Not the mock drafts, just the rankings.
Yeah. Oh, none. Okay. That's all the NFL guys, and okay, the mock drafts are all the NFL guys. So I am as entertained and consume that as much as any reader.
Well, it's funny because I just logged on to it. I'm just looking at the quarterback rankings, and they have CBS Sports has Rudolph 1, Lamar Jackson 2, and then they have the big three. Then they have Rosen, Darnold, Mayfield as 3, 4, 5. So whoever's doing these rankings thinks that Mason Rudolph is the best quarterback in the class. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, but I mean, I'm not going to try to explain what they did, but I think there's a difference between ranking the talents and fitting them with the teams and what they need. Mason Rudolph is a downfield guy. He's a big body. He's a high completion rate. Lamar Jackson, and this is a personal thing, I don't think he'll end up being a serviceable NFL quarterback. That's just my opinion. He's a great kid, deserves the Heisman, all that stuff. I've got issues with his accuracy. I've got issues with a thing I don't know about, his play calling. I don't know about that. I don't know about under center. I do know that historically, his ability to run, which is great in college, will be, I don't know what the word is, muffled in the NFL, because it always is for the great runners in college, unless you are a Cam Newton type whose body can hold up. I don't think his body can hold up. So I'm not as high on Lamar Jackson as some other people are.
Mm-hmm. And then when you look at Rosen and Darnold, just those two, and compare them, I mean, Darnold's a little bit bigger. They're about the same height. Darnold's a little bit heavier. But what do you think about those two?
I knew them both. I was impressed by them both. Obviously in that Southern California market, Josh Rosen played on a team that did one thing well, and he was that person who did it well. He couldn't run the ball. They didn't play a defense worth a lick, didn't protect him well, mm-mm, and yet he was able to get passes off, and it was their best weapon. I think that says volumes about him. There's this, like you kind of guys referenced it, like, is he fully committed to football? Yeah, I think he's fully committed to football. I also think when he's done playing football, he wants to start an initiative to help college athletes. Because he's seen players, sleep in the facility because they had no place to go, didn't have a place to stay. And he's a finance major. There's nothing wrong with that. I've seen that criticized in a football evaluation. Sam Darnold is a big bone, big body kid. I thought if things can be, this sort of thing can be impressive. I thought it was really impressive at his pro day. One, he did it in the rain. And then two, he was very good at it. So that showed me he's more, he's a gritty guy. He's less mobile than Josh Rosen. I think they'll both be highly successful. The comparison is because they are both right there at the top and both in Southern California.
Dennis, where do you fall on Josh Allen, the quarterback out of Wyoming? If I were an NFL general manager, I'd be scared to death if that's the guy that I pick that doesn't develop within the first two or three years and gets me fired. That's what I would be worried about. But he has tremendous upside. But I just look at his accuracy when he was at Wyoming against mostly inferior competition, completed 56% of his passes in 16, and right around the same number in 2017.
Yeah, his completion work percentage was similar to Lamar Jackson. And I think one difference is Lamar Jackson was playing against Power 5 athletes with Power 5 athletes. I really like Josh Allen because, and I believe this, I've heard this from scouts, that his ball was so good that the players he was throwing to couldn't catch it. In other words, he had that kind of Elway cross thing. I don't know if you know what the Elway cross is. It was a spot on the chest where the crosshairs of the football used to hit guys in practice, and they'd leave a mark. And they called it the Elway cross. He threw so hard.
Huh.
I think he was. I think his ball was so good at that level that a lot of guys, Mountain West type talent, couldn't handle it. And I think it'll be very good at the next level. And I could be completely wrong, but I think his measurables, which is another lightning rod word, the pros love, because he's big, he's rangy, he's playing the pro offense under Craig Bowl at Wyoming. For them, he's set. There aren't many questions except what you mentioned. Is it just because he was playing with inferior talent for Wyoming, or is that who he is?
If Dennis Dodd was the GM of the Cleveland Browns, who is he taking at quarterback out of those guys we just talked about?
I'd trade all the number one picks and go get Baker Mayfield. No. You have to get a quarterback when you're at college or NFL and hang on to him and put all your eggs in the basket, because you can't win without a quarterback. I mean, you can, but I think you know what I'm talking about. If you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a chance.
Right.
So I would go there.
But which
and just try to get.
Yeah, that's
a good question. The three week, well, the 3-4-5 we talked about, is you're playing for the Browns, who are going to be better, but you're going to get your butt kicked a lot too, because they're the Browns. So who holds up the best mentally, physically? Doesn't get worn down, and it's the guy of the future. I mean, I might go with Darnold just because of that. I kind of agree with Jim Mora. But as much of a talent there is at the top in quarterbacks this year, I think it's a crapshoot because of the fit. Does the Josh Rosen really don't fit with the Browns? Okay, well, that doesn't mean he's not the best quarterback. He may not be able to fit
you know, sustain 27 sacks over the season. So, I mean, just top of my head, I guess I'd go Darnold.
Joined by Dennis Dodd, college football writer for CBS Sports. We're here in D.C., and the Redskins clearly need running back help. They're not going to be able to get Saquon Barkley. He'll go before they pick at 13. But names like Darius Geis out of LSU, Ronald Jones out of Southern Cal are some names that have been linked to the Redskins. Talk about both of those running backs, what you like about them, what you dislike, and who you think is a better fit for the Redskins.
I love Geis. He made, you know, when Fournette was injured towards the end at LSU and he was just coming up, he was a different sort of better back. He had wiggle. He can run north-south. He had more wiggle than Leonard Fournette, obviously not as big. But I loved his ability. I don't know about pass catching. I just don't know. I'm not saying I'm not questioning it. I just don't know because LSU doesn't do much of that.
Right.
Ronald Jones is more of a straight-ahead guy, a more, I guess, traditional NFL back. Not going to wow you, but going to have 22 carries for 88 yards or something like that, which is, on any given Sunday, you'll take that, if that's what it takes. So I like Geis a little more in terms of just because he's got a little bit of home run ability. I don't think – I know Ronald Jones doesn't on the NFL level. He may have had it in college, but Darius Geis was really impressive to me. He was – when I saw them go on the same team, I thought, you know, Fournette was 1A and Geis at his best was 1.
Mm-hmm.
1B, I should say. 1B, excuse me.
Is there a position in this particular draft that you've seen, you know, from afar that you think the strength lies? I mean, is it quarterback? Is it running back? Or is there another position you really like?
There's volume at quarterback. I don't know if there's – again, we've talked about this. I don't know if there's a home run hire or home run guy out there. I mean, there's going to be maybe a lot more next year. It's going to be a little more wide open. No, same thing, the high-priced positions, defensive end, running back, receiver. I don't know if it's overloaded at one position or another. I know that, I'm trying to remember who it is. Denzel Ward at Ohio State,
right.
I think is, I thought in our last mock was top five. So
yes.
He's a cover corner. That's, you know, after quarterback. And maybe left tackle if you can get a cover corner that kind of sews your defense together because you can shut down one side of the field. So, but I don't know if there's many other defensive backs like that in the draft.
Dennis, in your Twitter bio, it says you're a hockey lover and dad. Mm. We need your pick on Caps Jackets in the first round before we let you go.
I made it Sunday on Twitter. I had Caps in five. These aren't the Jackets of last year, and I think the Caps are clicking on a high level now to win the Cup or get to the final. That's a dicey proposition given their history, but I do think they're playing well. Obviously, Ovi's playing well. They've got all the pieces, and I at least in the first round, I think they roll.
Who would you start in goal, Grubby or Holtby?
That's tough too. I think historically Holtby. Maybe not for this season, but again, what he's done in the past, it looks like they're going to need both of them if they advance deep in the playoffs, because I don't see one guy playing, 25, 28 games or something like that if they play seven-game series.
It's true.
It just wears you down, so just a guess.
Dennis, thanks as always for the time. It's Dennis Dodd. You can follow
him. Thank you, Dennis.
On Twitter, @DennisDoddCBS. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Yep.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.